KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, K224CQ Anahola, K284AL Haleiwa.
All right, so we're going to go live to our broadcast here from Because It Matters, the Kauai Candidates Forum. And is Felicia there? Let's see if Felicia's there live.
I am here. So, aloha, Kauai. You hear a little bit of background noise right now. But we are streaming live from Chifas Kamakahele Middle School cafeteria. We're getting ready for our event. Yep, I'm here. Can they hear me? Aloha, this is Felicia from KKCR, the station that loves you, KAQA Kilauea. And we are here at Chifas Kamakahele. And we are just about ready to begin doing our candidate forum right now. The room is filling up. I'm really pleased to be seeing what I would consider miscellaneous citizens, people who are coming in because they are interested and learning. And we have also a number of different candidates are here, and the candidates are going to be, they bring their friends, and we've got a lot going on. So the prosecutor, incumbent Justin Caller, is here. He's sitting in his seat, and then Lisa Aaron is also there. They are going to be the first two to come into the discussion. I'm getting lots of waves, and different people are getting ready to do this. We have Patricia Wistenhausen ready to speak in just a moment. And we'll be going live in a few moments. She is one of our young Democrats. This event is put on by young Democrats. And we also have Leilani from the American Association of University Women.
We're going to be getting started now.
So you're hearing it start. Candidate Forum, participation in democracy beginning. So, also, we're really happy to have Julio's Beach Burrito out in the parking lot. So if people are hungry, they can definitely eat. And it's kind of a nice setup, good food, really good price, and lots of good people in here. I see all kinds of people from all around the island. I'm happy when I see that there are many people that are paying attention, getting involved. Room keeps filling up, but I think we're going to get going in any moment. We've got Kelvin Ho just about to come on.
Aloha. I'll ask Davido Apuli before we get started tonight. I was always taught that Apuli was a form of alignment. Yeah. These islands have always celebrated a diversity of culture, points of view, and perspective, and opinions. So we want to really come and open our hearts up to let that momentum of that celebration of our diversity carry through tonight. But beneath that, we want to have a base of unity that really opens our hearts and recognizes that we're all in this together and facing challenging times, and the importance of wayfinders and navigators and steers people. And so we start the alignment with gratitude for those that have gone before us, our families, teachers, and our guides. The opportunity to have a voice and a say and a choice. So, Pulika Po. Mahalo ki a kua na oma kua, mahalo ki ni a kua, mahalo nui na kapuna. Open hearts and quiet minds, we approach to unify ourselves in spirit, thought, and family. With respect to everyone's paths and fates, we offer up a simple time of silence to really feel this unity and to feel the presence of our teachers and guides and our families and the very best wisdom that they offer to be in our hearts and souls and in our minds. Hearts are calmed by the presence of Akua's love and an embodiment of aloha. We offer up this time of preparation and this kuli of gratitude in the light of spirit. Amen. Mahalo.
Mahalo. Candidate forum. Chief is Kamakahele Middle School. Happening live. Come on down.
Hey, mahalo to Kelvin Ho. Aloha, everybody. Welcome to the Kauai Candidates Forum. My name is Patricia Wistinghausen, and I'm with the Kauai Young Democrats and Kauai Women's Caucus.
Aloha, everyone. I'm Leilani Spencer with the American Association of University Women, the AAUW, and Patricia and I will be your moderators for this evening's forum. In addition to the AAUW, Young Democrats, and Women's Caucus, this event has been coordinated and sponsored in partnership with the Surf Rider Foundation, Apollo Kauai, and Zero Waste Kauai.
Within the past couple of months, members from our six community groups connected and came together to present this candidates forum to you today, the theme of which is Because It Matters, who we elect as prosecutor to the county council and our Hawaii state legislature. This year's elections and every election should matter to everyone within our community. Because the people entrusted to lead our government have the great responsibility, or kuleana, to advocate on behalf of the interests and the needs of the people they represent, and not on behalf of corporations or big banks.
This forum is meant to provide an educational opportunity for the community and for the candidates themselves to learn about one another. It is meant to bring candidates forth who are willing to put themselves in the spotlight, to be asked engaging questions, and for us, their constituents, to hear from them in their own words where they stand on the issues and why they want to serve in public office.
As a note to all of those joining us here in person, this event is being filmed for later viewing on Hoʻike, our Kauai community television station, and it's also being broadcast live on KKCR, our Kauai community radio station, 91.9 FM. Additionally, the forum is being live streamed on facebook.com/ Kauai Young Democrats and via Periscope, also from our Kauai Young Democrats page.
Mahalo to everyone joining us here in person. And for those listening on the radio, our event is taking place at the Chiefs Kamakahele Middle School Cafeteria in Pu'i here on Kauai. Our program is set to run from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. tonight, and we'll begin with our two prosecuting attorney candidates, followed by seven of nine state legislative candidates, and then 10 of the 13 county council candidates.
All candidates running for office within our county, partisan and nonpartisan, were invited to participate in this forum. Some had previous engagements and could not participate. A few others never responded to repeated requests to attend. Reasons for those not in attendance are laid out and noted within our program. So before we begin, we'll go over some basic housekeeping rules. If you haven't done so already, please ensure that your phones are on vibrate or silence. For those present, the restroom is located out these doors here to, I guess this is our stage right, so your left, right around the wall. So around the corner, and make sure you don't close the door, otherwise no one else can use the bathroom. After you're done, make sure the door is still open. So, and parking again, don't park by the, which area is it, by the office?
It's okay, it's locked.
It's okay, so it's already locked, so hopefully you're not already parked in there. And there is a food truck right outside at the curb if you get hungry. It is at your own cost, but we definitely welcome you to go ahead and use that throughout because it's such a long event.
Please know that because we have such a rigorous schedule tonight, we will not be taking any questions from the audience,
but we have provided contact information for each candidate participating, and we encourage you to reach out to them individually to get your questions answered, to donate, or to volunteer with their campaigns.
The questions that the candidates will be asked tonight were thoughtfully developed, discussed, revised, and then voted on by the group sponsoring this event. Majority of the questions, topics, and even subcategories were provided to the candidates in advance of this forum so they could have time to prepare and present their platform. And if we can briefly bring everybody's attention to our timers, Melissa and Wiley Barker here at the front of the room, they will be using, thank you so much, they will be using clearly marked signs signaling for our candidates their remaining time to speak, and with the sound of the bell, you want to ring the bell? Ding. So when you hear that sound, that'll let the candidate know that their time has run out. And finally, a short biography of each candidate will be read to introduce you to who's on stage. These bios were provided by the candidates and their campaigns. And this is also, one more very important note, a zero-waste event. All bins are outside by the food truck, so please sort them carefully.
Beginning our forum, we have two of our candidates for prosecuting attorney, Justin Kohler and Lisa Aaron.
So Lisa Aaron has been a practicing criminal trial attorney for over 20 years and has dedicated her legal career here on Kauai to protecting victims and helping our children. Lisa is endorsed by SHOPO, the State of Hawaii Organization of Police Officers, and is also endorsed by the United Public Workers Union, or UPW. Lisa is the president of the Kauai Children's Justice Committee, a director of Na Puale Oka Honua, and is a member of the Zonta Club of Kauai. Go to votelisaaron.com for more info.
And Justin Kohler, I'm pronouncing that correctly, yes?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. Is running for re-election as prosecuting attorney. He has served the people of Hawaii for 10 years as a law clerk, a deputy prosecutor, a deputy county attorney, and since 2012 as Kauai's lead prosecutor. He lives in Wailua with his wife Sierra and their son Owen. And go to justinkohler.org for more information.
So the candidates for prosecutor will be given the same five questions with 2 minutes each to respond to each question and a final 2 minutes to wrap up or rebut a response by their opponent. And so candidate Aaron, we're gonna start with you with the first question here. Let's see. And then candidate Kohler, you'll have a chance to respond to the same question right after. Okay, so the first question for our prosecutor candidates, is Kauai experiencing high incarceration rates? If so, what are responsible responses or alternatives?
Thank you, Patricia. No, I don't believe that Kauai is experiencing any higher incarceration rates than elsewhere. But that being said, our population has increased and our jail has remained the same size. So the jail is pretty full on a daily basis. So the responsible responses to that is to make sure we first are prioritizing who we place in jail. And to me, it's just common sense that doesn't always seem to be followed, but that to keep our community safe, it's most important that we incarcerate the most serious, violent, and repeat offenders. And if that means that certain other individuals that may be deserving of incarceration don't get incarceration, say, for victimless crimes or for contempt of court or something that's more of a nuisance or an annoyance, that's where the alternative should lie. I think that we have a segment of our population that has difficulty maintaining their driver's license. They have difficulty with transportation and getting to court. And those are the people that we should be looking at different alternatives to help solve the problem in a more meaningful way than jail, so that our limited jail space can be used for those people, those individuals that are making our community unsafe. There's also other alternatives to jail within the criminal justice system that can be appropriate for certain offenses and offenders, and that would be things like community service making restitution, things of that nature. But any way you cut it, because of our growing population, it's going to cost more money, whether that be build more rehabilitation and treatment centers. Thank you.
Thank you, Candidate Aaron. Candidate Kohler, the same question. Is Kauai experiencing high incarceration rates? If so, what are responsible responses or alternatives?
Aloha, good evening. Thank you, everyone, for making this forum happen tonight. I really appreciate it. Kauai's incarceration rates are consistent with Hawaii's overall incarceration rates, which are elevated, however, as are incarceration rates throughout our country. With regards to certain demographic groups, however, the rates of incarceration are troubling, and it is clear that Native Hawaiian and Pacific Islander populations are incarcerated at rates that are four times those of whites or Hispanics and 60% higher than the black population, according to 2010 census data. Now, we also know that in 2014, the state of Hawaii recorded record low robbery, burglary, and arson rates. We also know, according to the same data, that Kauai in 2014 experienced a record low total index crime rate, a record low property crime rate, and a record low larceny theft rate, according to the uniform crime reporting data maintained by the Department of the Attorney General. Indeed, with respect to crime rates on Kauai, they increased steadily from 2005 to 2012 and then began to decrease fairly dramatically, with the property crime index notably decreasing from 532 in 2012 to 310 in 2014. That tells us that some of what we are doing is working, and yet our jail facilities are bursting at the seams. KCCC, designed to hold about 125 inmates on any given day, holding close to 200 inmates. So we see incarceration rates remaining high even as overall crime rates ease their way down. Now, some of this is undoubtedly true to the fact that years ago a smaller percentage of arrests were successfully prosecuted, and now we tend to get better results. However, it does cost us up to upwards of $50,000 a year to house somebody at KCCC, $200,000 a year to house a child at the HYCF on Oahu, and about $28,000 a year to house an inmate on the mainland. So my administration has proudly supported alternative programs like the drug court, mental health court, jail diversion program, girls court, veterans court, the environmental court, both probation, and of course teen court. We will continue to support those programs in my second term. Thank you.
Thank you.
KKCR, we are at the council for the county forum.
Candidate Kohler, what responsibility does Hawaii have to its prisoners who are sent to the mainland for incarceration? We'll start with you.
When we send an inmate to the mainland through a contract the state has with the Corrections Corporation of America, it saves the taxpayers money, but what it does is it has the impact of separating families, and so it's problematic from a perspective of trying to rehabilitate these inmates and get them back to participating in the community once they're able to be released. I know that a couple of administrative agencies have been working to reduce Hawaii's use of mainland facilities, but until facilities are upgraded and streamlined here in Hawaii, it seems that that practice is going to continue. So our obligation is absolutely to make sure that when we're putting somebody in prison for an extended period of time, because it is the long-term inmates that get shipped to the mainland, we need to make sure we're putting that person in prison for the right reason, we're doing it to the right person at the right time, because the problems Hawaii faces are problems that we cannot just incarcerate our way out of.
Thank you.
If you take a look at who is actually being sent to Arizona, it is those offenders that have 10 or 20-year prison sentences are not amenable to the rehabilitative programs that are provided here either on Kauai, such as the work furlough program, or at Halawa, which are other forms of rehabilitative programs. So ultimately, the people that are being housed in Halawa are appropriately placed there. Yes, we do owe an obligation to the entire state to do better and work harder to have facilities here in Hawaii to house all of our inmates, because it's obvious and also statistically known that inmates will do better when they get out if they are still connected to their families and their communities, and that should happen. But I can tell you the inmates that are currently being sent there are serious violent offenders, and before they are released, they are generally brought to Halawa or KCCC to participate in the rehabilitative programs and the furlough programs, and reconnected with their family that remains.
All right, thanks so much both for your responses. So your, see, your third question here is, how is justice served by extensive plea bargaining? And so, Lisa, if you'd like to start.
Okay. There is currently extensive plea bargaining going on on Kauai, and the problem with that is if it doesn't adequately address the nature of the offender's conduct or their criminal history, then it's inappropriate and ineffective, and that case shouldn't have been resolved in that manner. Additionally, I can back up and say plea bargaining is part of the process. There are too many criminal cases to take every case to trial, but that doesn't mean none or very little of the cases should be going to trial if we're not getting effective resolutions. Plea bargains and sentences for criminal offenders are supposed to be designed to not only address the offender and their conduct and their criminal history, but to keep the community safe and to be meaningful to the defendant, so it really assists that offender to rehabilitate. It also will send a message to the community as to what type of conduct is either accepted or tolerated and what isn't, and can serve as a deterrent effect for others who are considering committing crimes or going down the wrong path. So the other thing, as I was headed towards, if you have extensive plea bargaining that isn't properly addressing the safety of the community and the needs of the offender, you also are in a situation where you have a prosecutor's office filled with deputies with little to no jury trial experience, and that exacerbates the problem, because then the defense attorneys have the bargaining power with criminal defendants, and it doesn't serve the purposes of justice, it doesn't serve community safety, and it doesn't serve the offender well to get the necessary rehabilitation that they need.
Plea bargaining is a fact of life on Kauai, throughout Hawaii, and for every prosecutor's office in the United States. Plea agreements allow for negotiated and balanced outcomes in the vast majority of criminal cases in our country. They are essential to the orderly functioning of our criminal justice system, and any prosecutor who says that they won't or don't plea bargain is simply engaging in a rhetorical exercise, to put it that way. You know, when my opponent was a deputy prosecutor, she plea bargained cases or dismissed cases, and in many situations that was the appropriate resolution to the case. There are any number of reasons to plea bargain or not in a case, but mostly what it comes down to is what can be proven beyond a reasonable doubt to a jury of 12 people. When police make an arrest, they make an arrest based on probable cause that the offense occurred. And however, our ethical duty as prosecutors is to charge cases that can be proven beyond a reasonable doubt. That's a very different standard. Many times after an arrest happens, subsequent facts or information comes to light that refocuses the details of the case, and it's a different charge that's the appropriate charge. So the attorneys involved get together with the judge and talk to the victim and try to negotiate an outcome that addresses all of those various factors. Now, clearly, some cases do have to go to trial. Usually in those cases, the accused will not accept an appropriate consequence or responsibility for their crime. So we go to trial, and our staff's never been afraid or hesitant to do that. In fact, in the last year, we won a number of significant child sex assault trial verdicts. And I credit our first deputy prosecuting attorney, Jennifer Wynn, who is a brilliant trial attorney, for mentoring the strong team of dedicated and hardworking attorneys we now have. She has nearly 200 years of experience and is the strongest team by far that the office has ever seen. So plea bargaining isn't going to go away, but when it's used right, it's a powerful tool for achieving justice in an efficient and effective fashion. Thank you.
Thank you. Candidate Muller, should the Hawaii juvenile system be revised? Why and how?
Thank you for that question. Hawaii actually takes a fairly progressive approach to juvenile justice, and I am a strong supporter of that progressive approach. Hawaii is a participating site for the NAE Casey Foundation's Juvenile Detention Alternatives Initiative, which is basically, it's a nationwide program that looks for ways to eliminate inappropriate, unnecessary juvenile detention. As I mentioned earlier, it costs about $200,000 a year to house a juvenile at the facility on Oahu. And over the years, what we've learned is that putting kids in that facility doesn't really do anything to keep the community safe. And in fact, what it does is it teaches these kids how to become better criminals. So in the past several years, in the past number of years, Hawaii has dramatically reduced the number of children being put into the secure detention facility on Oahu. And on Kauai last year, you know, we only had to send two of our children into the jail. So on Kauai, we do emphasize the need for swift intervention in cases where juveniles are committing offenses so that we can rapidly identify the services or types of supervision that they may need and make sure they get it. When your kids misbehave at home, we don't say, oh, we'll deal with this in 120 days, right? You deal with it immediately. So that's the focus of the system. My juvenile court deputy spent 6 years as a special needs elementary school teacher, and she really gets it. She understands the importance of working hard to help these kids get their lives straightened out. And we also have a very caring and hardworking family court judge on Kauai who gets it. And finally, we are strong supporters of the Kauai Teen Court program, and we've contracted with Hale Opio to run that program for many years now. Teen Court is a program that allows for first-time teen offenders to go through a process where they're adjudicated by a group of their peers who then work to come up with a resolution that has a restorative effect for both the offender and the victim. It's a healthy way to teach kids how to resolve disputes and to respect one another. So I'm proud that Kauai is on the forefront when it comes to juvenile justice, and my administration will continue supporting evidence-based, progressive approaches to juvenile justice moving forward. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much, candidates.
Okay, sorry. And now your turn to respond, candidate.
Yes. The question was, should Hawaii's juvenile system be revised? And it actually is being revised. There's been a new law which has resulted in less children being incarcerated at HYCF. And the children that are actually housed at HYCF have exhausted all rehabilitative means through the system. And it's the only choice left for community safety is to keep them there. So while there's less kids being sent to HYCF, they're actually spending a longer time there. And but that's after a lot of time, energy, and intervention has occurred. The part that really needs to be worked on, especially on the outer islands like Kauai, is having additional services in place for kids with drug addiction. It's really important that we have an adolescent treatment and healing center here on island, because there's many, many different ways that kids need assistance to rehabilitating from drug addiction. Sometimes in the home and outpatient is appropriate, but sometimes home is the problem and they need a safe place to address their issues and get the support that they need. So we really need to do a better job providing additional services because that's what's lacking. We do have some good programs here. We have Girls Court, we have Teen Court, we have Youth Drug Court, but there's still a lot more services that are needed. Additionally, access to pro-social activities for kids who can't afford sports, the arts, music, things that give kids that sense of having a strong and bright future that they may not have access to adult mentors. There's a lot of things we could do better to help children in the system.
Okay, thanks so much. So your final question for both of you, Lisa, you can respond first, and then candidate Justin Kohler. So why were or weren't you endorsed by SHOPO, the State of Hawaii Organization of Police Officers? Candidate Aaron.
Thank you, Patricia.
I was honored to be endorsed by the State of Hawaii Organization of Police Officers. The Kauai board voted unanimously to endorse my candidacy, and that is because I've worked here on Kauai in the prosecutor's office for 6 years and developed strong working relationships with the officers, administration, and it goes beyond that. They recognize the work that I did with victims and assisting children's sex assault victims, domestic violence victims, having the confidence that it takes to get to court and be able to say the truth about what has happened to them on very, very difficult and challenging topics. I have strong working relationships with treatment providers and other partner agencies, and the bottom line is I have over 20 years of criminal trial experience. I have the willingness and the ability to go to trial on cases that need to go to trial. I have the decision-making ability to be able to decide what is an appropriate offer that will address the offender and the offense. That I'm willing to sit down and talk with the police officers, victims, partner agencies about helping them, about issues that come up, that even when we don't agree, that I'm willing to sit down and tell them why I'm not going to prosecute a particular case that they feel strongly about. And I'm willing to hear them out face-to-face and get their perspective on the case and the issues. And I'm willing to give them the respect to tell them what I'm thinking so they can understand why we have a difference of an opinion and why I'm making the decision, and that it's based on reasoning and respect and knowing all the information that's available to make a good decision.
Thank you for asking that question, because it does come up from time to time. The Shoko chapter chair for Kauai, who is a person I do like and have a lot of respect for, came to my office one day last year and told me that Shoko was declining to endorse me because I made the decision to prosecute a police officer who allegedly struck and killed a young man named Michael Coker down in Comic-Con last year. He told me to my face that that's what it boiled down to. He told me that because of that situation, there were police who were just not comfortable with me. I'll also note that in 2012, during my first campaign, Shoko again did support my opponent and campaigned very hard against me in that election. So I understand that unions make decisions based on political considerations, and I do my best to separate the actions of the unions from those of its members. I am very proud to work alongside the women and men of the Kauai Police Department, as I have been for the last 8.5 years. They know that if they call me in the middle of the night, I will answer my phone and do my best to help them, and I will continue to do so no matter what their union says. I'm approached on a daily basis by police officers who remind me that the union does not speak for all cops. So I'm approached by members of the community as well on a daily basis who appreciate that I do have the guts to make the difficult decisions, and that when I see trouble, I don't just put my head down and try to ignore it, but that I keep my head up and I keep moving forward. That's what the community elected me to do. I believe this community rightfully supports and believes in its law enforcement system, but I believe the community wants and deserves a criminal justice system that does hold everyone accountable equally, even if that person does, unfortunately, happen to wear a badge to work. I also think our community wants and deserves a prosecutor's office that works well with police but also has some independence. I'm proud to have a track record of supporting our working women and men in this community, and that's why Hawaii's largest union, the Hawaii Government Employees Association, does endorse my campaign, as well as ILWU. Mahalo.
Thank you so much,
Kamehameha. I first want to thank again the Young Democrats, the Women's Caucus, Apollo Kauai, and Surf Rider for putting this forum together. It means a lot to me to be able to come out and speak to the community like this face to face. I also want to thank and acknowledge my wife and son who are in the back of the room supporting me. I'm very grateful for their support, and I couldn't do it without them. And I also want to wish a happy birthday to Janice Bond over there in the back of the room. Again, I have devoted my career to serving the people of Hawaii, and I have been very proud to do so. I consider myself very fortunate and blessed to have the opportunity to work for this community. I'm approaching my 10-year service anniversary next month, and I never imagined I would get to have the chance to serve this community the way that I have. But I'm very grateful for it, and it humbles me every day because I learn new things from the people that I work with every single day. And I'm grateful for the community support. I'm grateful for the support of law enforcement. I'm grateful for the support of everyone here. And again, my name is Justin Kohler. I'm running for re-election. I'm asking for your vote. You can check us out on the web, justinkohler.org. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on Vimeo. We're on YouTube. We're on Instagram. We are all around the place, so I'm looking forward to speaking with any of you tonight. I'll be around for a while, so again, thank you for your kind attention. Have a wonderful evening. Mahalo and aloha.
Thank you so much, Candidate Taylor. Candidate Aaron, closing remarks.
Thank you. Well, our next group of candidates...
It's okay. We're just so anxious for this forum. So.
I know you have a big slate ahead of you to jump on that. Thank you, everyone who participated in putting this forum on. I appreciate the opportunity to answer your questions and speak before you. I have a website, votelisaaron.com. We also are... have a Friends Lisa Aaron Facebook page where you can get more information. You can email me at votelisaaron@gmail.com. I'm happy to sit down with anyone and answer any of your questions anytime, whether it's one person or 50 people. I'm willing to talk about the issues that are facing our criminal justice system. And I can tell you, I am running because I want to build a strong, stable, and effective prosecutor's office. Unfortunately, the prosecutor's office is not stable currently. They have had a 100% turnover rate of deputies. And the problem with that is you don't have deputies who know the community, know your law enforcement officers, know the places. And Kauai is such a small place. And without having a feel for what is important to the community, not knowing who the offenders are, not knowing who the people's lives that are affected by the crimes that are being committed here, it's impossible for justice to be achieved. Prosecutors, deputy prosecutors, will stay if they have a feeling of success and commitment to our community. And that takes a prosecutor like me that's willing to lead by example, to be present in the office on a daily basis, to be present in the court, assisting the newer attorneys with their development of their skills as attorneys and supporting them. Being a trial attorney, being a courtroom attorney is hard. And if you don't have that person with the experience to have your back, you are left hanging out there on your own. And by the turnover rates that we've seen, that's what's been happening. And that's not good for our community safety.
Thank you so much. Okay, so mahalo to both candidates for being here today. So thank you so much for taking the time out.
Mahalo. And you're listening to KKCR.
Let's get settled on the stage. We want to remind people that we're broadcasting this forum live. KKCR, Kauai Community Radio, 91.9 FM. We're live streaming on facebook.com/ Hawaii Young Democrats, as well as filming this event for later viewing on Hoike Hawaii Community Television. The filming was made possible by the Surf Rider Foundation of Hawaii. Surf Rider is a nonprofit affiliate dedicated to the protection and enjoyment of our oceans, waves, and beaches through conservation, activism, research, and education. We are very proactive in Kauai with our beach cleanups, net patrol, and water testing. That's kauai.surfrider.org.
All right, and we're at a time when we're the candidates are switching position and a little bit of things are going on in the room here. I will say I'm very pleased to see that it is The room is full, as full as I am used to ever seeing it for an event, but there is still a place to sit. If you choose to stop by, there's food outside by Julio's Beach Burritos. They've got good food. Getting ready to come
we
up.
We also want to mahalo another partner organization, the Kauai Women's Caucus, which is open to anyone interested in working on women's rights and equality, and the Kauai Young Democrats, which is for Democratic Party of Hawaii members ages 18 to 35 years of age. The Kauai Young Dems strive to involve and engage our youth to participate in politics, in their community, and in our government. And as a, is Aria Castillo around? I hope so. So as a member of our Kauai Young Democrats and Women's Caucus, we want to especially take this time to mahalo the founder of these groups here on Kauai, Janice Bond. So today is Janice's birthday, as was mentioned earlier. So happy birthday to Janice from her Young Democrats and the other partners for this event. And just, where is Janice? Make sure she gets the lay from Young Dems. And also, just as a note, everybody knows Janice, but Janice is a longtime member of the Lions Club. She's active with Elderly Affairs, Kapuna Caucus, and is the District 15 Chair for the Democratic Party of Hawaii here on our island. She was a former school teacher and foster mother to dozens over the years. She pushes voter registration. I believe she was the one who registered me to vote and got me involved, especially with Women's Caucus and being here today. She was a founder for Kauai for Bernie, for Senator Bernie Sanders' presidential campaign. So mahalo, Janice, for your service to the community and for inspiring us young people to participate and keep participating in government. We love you, Janice.
We do love Janice Bond. Happy birthday, Janice Bond. She is also very active at getting people to vote. We're seeing on the stage, our legislators are getting ready. We have Dee Morikawa from District 16, Fern Rosensteel, Democrat candidate for District 14, which is North Shore East Side. We have Sandy Combs also running for District 14. She is on the Republican ticket. I see Senator Ron Cochi. He is the president of the Senate. He is running on the Republican ticket. Democratic ticket. Also on the Democratic ticket is Kanoi Ahuna. She is here. She is challenging him. We are expecting... Jimmy Tokioka isn't here, but Tommy Oi is. Jimmy is the incumbent. Tommy Oi is running against him. I think Jimmy had a conflict tonight. So they are District 15, which is Lihue, Hanamaulu, Puhi, Koloa. And really good turnout. We appreciate everybody that is here and getting ready. And and I see Nadine Nakamura now, too. She is also running for District 14. That had been Derek Kawakami's seat. So those are our House of Representatives. And then Senate is Kochi and Ahuna. So they're going to be getting a round of questions. There'll be, a range, and some of them will be more specific to their own district. The absentee ballots are out. You should have that in the mail. When you do, you need to make sure on one side county there is no partisan politics. On the other side, you have to select which party you are voting for in the primary. And then at Lihue Neighborhood Center, Monday through Saturday, up until the 11th, you can go in and vote from 8 to 4 p.m. I'm not sure what happened to change things, but I'm actually pretty stoked to see that you can go in and you can register to vote right there and vote. So that's a good thing. So you can do walk-in voting in Lihue. And then when you go to your normal precinct, that will be on August 13th. That is, I believe, Saturday. I better check on that, but then you can go and vote. So we're really happy that it has been made easier and easier to vote. When we talk about some of the frustrations that's happened in the primary season, it's been good in Hawaii. And I know there was a little bit of struggle over the presidential preference poll, but I think in just about every precinct, all kinds of efforts were made. And we have Stephen, who is the head of the Democratic Committee for the island, just walking up. I see that. Lots of people are here. Dan Ahuna, who is our excellent representative from Office of Hawaiian Affairs for Kauai. This time around, only Molokai and Hawaii Island and at large have an Office of Hawaiian Affairs candidate. I also see Larry Rivera in here. His granddaughter is Patricia Wistinghausen. She is one of our moderators. Larry, say hi to the audience at KKC.
Aloha. Who am I talking?
You are talking to the island of Kauai on the radio. I was saying you're the grandfather of Patricia. We're so
proud.
Oh,
yeah. I'm very proud of her. I didn't know she was that good.
She's amazing. And she went. She was a Democrat, you know, delegate in Philadelphia.
I came to see her. And I like what's going on here. Thank you very much.
Great. Yes. So lots of fun things coming on. Let's see if Stephen wants to say hi. He's our Stephen. What's your title? He's the chair of the Democratic Committee. Stephen, you want to say hi to the island of Kauai? You're on the air.
Oh, thank you for the show. Aloha, everyone on Kauai. I'm currently the Kauai Democratic Party chair, and I'd just like to announce that the local parties are hosting a unity event at the Kauai War Memorial Convention Hall, August 15th, which is Monday. The hours are 5:30 to 9:30, which will feature all Democratic candidates that have run in the primary. The purpose of this is to unite all Democrats in the attempt to select all of them to our local, state, and national offices. And I hope you get the time to participate. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And I'll keep my eye out for the Republican chair so that they can also speak. If you see the Republican chair, send them over. So, yeah, we have just about all of our candidates are seated, so they're pretty close to being ready. Missing one or two, but we're just about ready. And Dan, we have our OHA person here, Office of Hawaiian Affairs. Maybe I was saying your Office of Hawaiian Affairs. Do you want to say hi to the island of Kauai? Say hi to Kauai.
Oh, aloha, aloha. Thank you for having me. I'm just here to watch the debate right now going on.
Okay. All right. We're ready to get back.
Hello, everybody. All right. You can hear me? You have to sit. Okay. We're getting ready to get started again. So everyone can take your seats. And I was just going to mention my grandpa, Larry Rivera. He was over there talking with Felicia. And oh, there, my grandpa and grandma are in the back, sorry. Had to do a shout out. Larry and Gloria. And he said he's very proud of me, which is awesome. And that I told him, I said, look, I've been in the paper more than you lately. So okay, one quick announcement. This is for the Democratic Party of Kauai. We are having our unity rally. It's on Monday, August 15th. At the War Memorial Convention Hall from 5:30 to 9:30 p.m. Suggested donations $10. So just putting it out there, if you're interested, our chair, Stephen Ishimura, is sitting quietly over here in the corner. But you can always come and find him if you have some questions. All right, is everybody all set to go? I think so. All right.
Kauai Community Cat Project's second charity fundraiser to support our abandoned stray and feral community cats is on Saturday, August 6th from 5 to 9 p.m. at the Kauai Mini Golf and Botanical Gardens at Ainoho Community Park in Kilauea. Mini golf, local vendors and artists, delicious food, silent auction, live music and fire dancing.
So we
more information
Tommy
and
Oya
tickets at KauaiCommunityCats.org.
Okay, so we are expecting seven, but we're going to go ahead and get started with the introductions. So